Hare Krishna. So, today we are going to cover the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. It's quite a large chapter, like chapter 2. So let us see what we can do. This is the conclusion. Naturally, since this is the 18th chapter, the last chapter, this is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is the perfection of renunciation. Arjuna Ubacha Sannasasya Mahabaho Tattamichhami Beditum Tyagasa cha Rishikesha Prithak Keshi Nishudana. Arjun said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation and the renounced order of life, sannas, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Is sit down. Tell him to sit down. No more photography. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kamyanang Karmanang Nyasam Sannasang Kavayo Bidu Sarva Karma Falatyagang Prahustyagang Vichakshana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannas. What is the renounced order of life? The renounced order of life is giving up activities that are based on material desire. The activities that are based on material desire should be given up. Not that every activity should be given up. The activities that are meant for pleasing Krishna, should that be given up? No, that shouldn't be given up. And giving up the results of all activities is what is wise called renunciation. Tyajyam dosho baditteke karma prahur manishinaha jagga dano tapo karma na tyajyam iti chapare. So Krishna is saying some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should never be abandoned. The activities that are materialistic, they should be given up. But the acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should not be given up. Why? Because they elevate us to the spiritual platform. Penances that are meant for spiritual advancement, sacrifice that are meant for pleasing Krishna, and the charity that is to benefit others, that those activities should not be given up. Nishchayam Srinume Tatra Tyage Bharata Sattama Tyagohi Purusha Vyagra Vividha Samprakirtitaha. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. There are three kinds of renunciation. Now Krishna is describing. What are those three kinds of renunciation? Renunciation in goodness, renunciation in passion, renunciation in ignorance. Jagyadana tapo karma na tyajyam karma meva tat jagyadanam tapascaiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Yajna, dana, and tapaha. Yajna means sacrifice, dana means charity, and tapaha means penance, austerity. Maybe I should just read the English verses, English one, skip the Sanskrit, since actually today I want to finish the class by 12 o'clock, and then we'll give a break for about 15 minutes, and then we'll go to the next room and we'll have a fire sacrifice. So there are four devotees are going to get initiated. One, a very special one, I'll declare, who is a very special individual who is getting initiation today. There'll be a special initiation for this special devotee. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pritha, that is my final opinion. Prescribed duty should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So the prescribed duty should never be given up. What are the prescribed duties? Following the four regulative principles. What is the prescribed duty? Getting up early in the morning. Should you renounce those activities? I am a renunciate. I don't need to get up now at 4 o'clock. I can sleep as long as I want because I have renounced. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to be renounced in the mode of passion. Some activities are difficult to perform. Therefore, let me become a renunciate. Some people may think, earning money is so difficult, maintaining my family is so difficult. So let me renounce my family and become a sannyasi. So that is desirable? No, that renunciation is in the mode of passion. And Arjun, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of, in which mode? Very good. I'll repeat again. When one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done, it should be done, I have to do it. Whether I like it or not, I have to do it. Like for example, today, one candidate who is getting initiated is Sundar. Sundar is quite sick. His health is not very good. He has to take many medicines. So, now the quiet consideration was that whether Sundar could take something today. So I said, yes, Sundar can take some milk. But when that was conveyed to Sundar, Sundar said, no, he will fast. So although it is troublesome, although it is difficult, he decided to go through that. So this is desirable. Prescribed it only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit. What he renounces is attachment to the fruits of activities. Those renunciations are in the mode of goodness. The intelligent renouncer, situated in a mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. He is neither detached to inauspicious work and nor attached to auspicious work. He has no doubts about work. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. For a living entity to give up all activities is not possible. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So is it possible to renounce activities? No. So that's the point is being made. You can't stop acting. Renunciation of activities is not possible. But what you can do is renounce the fruits of your activity. Work, but renounce the fruits of your activity. Can you stay without working? If somebody may say, well, I will sleep 24 hours a day. Okay, even if he is sleeping, his stomach is digesting food, his lungs is breathing, his heart is pumping blood. Are these activities? So how can you say that you will stop activities? That's not possible. And even if you may stop the activities of the body, but you cannot stop the activities of your mind. Therefore, an intelligent person will not try to stop his activities, but what he will try to do is offer the results or fruits of his activities. And when one does that, then he becomes a true renunciate. Now when he renounces the fruits of his activities, but eventually we'll come to understand that even beyond that is not renounce the fruits of activities, but offer the fruits of your activities to Krishna. Then what happens? Then your renunciation gets a perfect shape. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. So Krishna now is explaining about three kinds of renunciation. Renunciation in ignorance, renunciation in passion, renunciation in goodness. And then he also pointed out that it is not possible to renounce. What we can renounce is the fruits of action. Action cannot be renounced. We cannot stop activities. But what we can do is we can renounce the results of our action. Now he is talking about five causes for the accomplishment of action. Five different causes of action. What are those? I'll just read the Sanskrit verse because this is important. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividharshcha prithak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. So there are five things, five causes of action. One is adhishthanam, the place of action. What is the place of action? The body is the place of action. The performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action. Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by the five factors. So whatever action a man performs by his body or his mind or his speech have these five factors as the cause. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. So to see things as they are, one must recognize these five causes of action. Like generally people think that he is the doer. But is he the doer? No, there are five causes of action. The body, the performer, the senses, the endeavors, and ultimately the super soul. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his action. So one of the very heinous act is to kill. But when one is properly situated, for him even killing is not, he does not kill. Now Arjun has to kill his relatives. Now if Arjun engages himself in this battle properly, then what will happen? This killing is not going to affect him. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate actions. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer action of action. Now hear of them from me. So in this way, Krishna very systematically explaining. Now, after a while, I will stop reading because I know this reading is just going to fly over your head. And my point will be, please read Bhagavad Gita carefully. Take your time, read it carefully. The other day, remember, one question came up, how to study attentively. And what was my answer to that? Take notes. So don't just read. Read with Bhagavad Gita in front of you, with a notebook, notepad, and a pen. and the points that you are coming across. Like for example, I was saying that it will fly over your head, many of the points. Like you won't be able to remember. But these points are important. When you are reading, you'll find them to be very important. What are the five causes of action? Isn't it important to remember? Now, what are you going to do then? If you feel that it's important to remember, you immediately write it down. Renunciation in the three modes. What are the three types of renunciations in three different modes? In mode of ignorance, and mode of passion, and mode of goodness. So you can write down what is the renunciation in the mode of ignorance. What is the renunciation in the mode of passion? What's the renunciation in the mode of goodness? Won't it be beneficial? So are you going to do that? Now mind you, I'm going to take your email address. Did you get all email addresses? How many you got?
Around 68.
Around 68. How many of you did not give your email address to Krishna Shish? Why didn't you give it? Was it in the mode of passion or ignorance? So give your email address. Okay? And I will ask you from time to time. And what about some exams? That's one I didn't do. Like, I gave the class, but did not take a test. Should we have a test also? Okay. And we'll give you a title, the Gita Bharatis. So, anyway, so in this way, let us systematically study Bhagavad Gita. By systematically studying Bhagavad Gita, who will benefit? Those who are studying, they'll benefit. And what will be the benefit? The benefit will be, you'll be spiritually enlightened. You'll be spiritually uplifted. Will that be beneficial? One thing I can tell you, that the effort that you're making is going to remain with you. That is the beautiful advantage of studying scriptures, bona fide scriptures. The benefit of that understanding remains with you, will remain with you. And at a difficult time, it will come out. Say, for example, you may be in some great difficulty. Then what will happen? In normal condition, people, when they are in difficulty, what do they try to do? They try to make some material adjustment. Borrow some money from the bank, or get some borrow or steal. They get it and they think that they are going to solve the problem. But after reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma Sangita, what will happen to you? When you are in difficulty, what will you do? Depend upon Krishna. But that doesn't mean that you stop making endeavor. You do your duty, you make your endeavor, but at the same time depend upon Krishna. As a result of that, what happens? You will feel so content and so peaceful in your heart. Normally when there is difficulty, people become perturbed. But when you have someone to depend upon and you know that he is watching you and he reciprocates, it's not that you just depend upon Krishna and Krishna says goodbye. You depend upon Krishna and Krishna reciprocates. Krishna thinks that here is this person who is depending upon me. I can't fail him.
I have to. He is depending upon me. If somebody is depending upon you, then and you are, if you are a gentleman, then what do you do? Do you dump him? No. You feel that I have a responsibility to take care of him. Now consider, if you feel this way, how Krishna must be feeling. So depend upon Krishna. Depending upon Krishna is real, and Krishna's help, Krishna's support is also real. And in this way, you learn to depend upon Krishna. And what is the ultimate difficulty? Can you imagine, can you think of, is there anybody? What is the Sharada? What is the ultimate difficulty? Ultimate difficulty is? No, ultimate. Okay, fine, that's a good difficulty. But the ultimate difficulty will be at the time of death. Death is the ultimate difficult situation. And at that time, who are you going to depend on? You may depend upon your medical insurance. You may depend upon all the medicines. You may depend upon all these various medical doctors and supports. But will it work? Then who can you depend upon? That's the time you can do. You have the you will be forced to depend upon Krishna. If you have faith in Krishna, then you'll be forced to depend upon Krishna. And if you depend upon Krishna at that time, who will you think of at the time of death? Krishna. And when you think of Krishna at the time of death, then what happens? You go back to Krishna Loka. Jang jang bhapi smaran bhavam tajat tante kalevaram. With whatever thought one leaves his body, accordingly he will reach that destination. And when one leaves his body remembering Krishna, where does he go? Very good. Golok Vrindavan. So in this way, you can see how the most difficult problem can be solved in this way. Is it worth giving it a try?
Yes.
Will it work?
Yes.
Very good. We'll find it out at the time of death. And that's true. That's the most critical point. We are actually, our life is a preparation for death. We must take our life as a preparation for death. And what is the perfect way of dying? The perfect way of dying is by remembering Krishna. Just remember Krishna. If you remember Krishna, then you will achieve the perfection. And when you die remembering Krishna, then what will happen? When you die remembering Krishna, the cycle of birth and death will disappear. Now sometimes people say, why do you all always talk about death? We don't always talk about death. We don't talk about death. We talk about what is after death. Death is just a gateway. But if you do not prepare yourself, then what will happen? Have you ever been to a situation you had to sit for the exams and you didn't do any preparation? Did it ever happen? How do you feel? You feel so miserable. So prepare yourself when the time is there. Throughout the year, in a school, what are you supposed to do? Throughout the year, you are supposed to prepare yourself, and then comes the exams. Now, if you have prepared well, then how do you feel during the exams? You just glide through the exams with the flying colors, right? And you get promoted to the next class, and next class, and next class. So similarly, in our life also, we can face these various exams. And the ultimate exams will be the exams at the time of death. At the time of death, if we can pass all that exams, then what will happen? Then our life has become successful. So this is the preparation. Trying to get a degree, trying to get a good job, trying to make money, they may help, but they won't be able to solve our ultimate problem. Just consider a very rich person, made a lot of money, very famous, very learned, very wise. But if he doesn't know how to remember Krishna at the time, if he doesn't know how to die, what will happen? That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Evena bhojile jashoda suto charome porive laje. If you do not worship Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, now, then you'll feel an extremely embarrassing situation. What is that embarrassing situation? At the time of death, you'll feel, well, I didn't make any preparation. Throughout the year, I just squandered my time and I didn't prepare for the exams, and now I'm sitting in front of the, and I'm sitting in the exams, for the exams, and I don't know how to answer the question. So this is the unfortunate state of affairs for most of the people. Do you want to fall in that category? No. Then what are you going to do? Prepare. Very good. So now I will just deal with the last five verses of the Bhagavad Gita, and I will deal with last five discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. Okay, I'll start from 68. Verse 68 of the 18th chapter. Ja idam paramang gujjang mad bhakteshabhidhayasati bhakting mai parang kritva mame vaishyatya sangshaya. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. What an assurance. Verse 68. One who imparts or explains this supreme secret to the devotees. Now the question may arise, why to the devotees? Why not to the non-devotees? Because they need it more. No. Because when you discuss, give it to the devotees, then what happens? Then you go, it leads to a discussion. When you discuss, when you speak this knowledge to a devotee, then you get into a discussion. Do you remember this verse? What the devotees do when they meet each other? Mat chitta mat gata prana. Bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mangnittam tushyanticha ramanticha. So when the devotees get together, they discuss about this. And by discussing, what happens? They churn out the nectar from the discussion. And as a result of that, pure devotional service automatically develops. And then at the end of the life, that person will go back to Krishna. Just as we are discussing right now, what is the ultimate goal of life? To make a success of our life which will be tasted at the time of death.
If you know how to die properly, then your life will become successful.
Nacha tasmat manusheshu kaschin me priyakrittamaha bhavitanacha me tasmad anna priyataro bhubi.
There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear.
That means,
the one who distributes Krishna consciousness, discusses about Krishna to others, he is the dear most to Krishna, and no one is dearer than him.
Addeshyate cha ja imam dharmam sangvadam avayo gyana yajnena tenaham ishtam syamiti memati.
And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worship me by his intelligence.
Shraddhavan anasuyascha srinuyadopi jo naraha sopi mukta subhallokan pratnun atri aptun na karmanam.
And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell.
Kaschid eta chutang partha taika grena chetasa kaschid agyana sammoha pranashtaste dhananjaya.
O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled?
So Krishna is asking Arjuna. Has your ignorance been dispelled now, Arjuna?
Now listen to Arjuna's answer.
Arjuna's answer means that should be our answer also. So what should be our answer?
Nashtamoha smriti labdha tat prasadan mayachyuta sthito asmi gato sandeha karishe vachanang tava.
Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instruction.
I'll do the last few verses also. Then Sanjay said, thus have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end.
By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard this most confidential talk directly from the master of all mystics, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna.
O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So I'll read this verse.
Yatra yogeshwarah Krishna, yatra partho dhanurdharaha, tatra shrir vijayo bhutir dhruva nitir matir mamaha.
So, in this way, ended the Bhagavad Gita, the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, which was retold by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. Thank you all very much. Do you think you benefited to some extent?
Yes.
Has there been some benefit?
Yes.
Okay. And I want this some benefit to fructify into a lot of benefit and the ultimate benefit. Thank you. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Huh?
What are the five?
The body, the performance, the senses, the different kinds of endeavor.
So what's your question?
The question is the performer, is it the soul?
The self, yes. The performer is the self. Now, wherever your identity of the self is, that is different. Somebody will think that his self is the body, somebody will think his self is the mind, somebody will think that the self is the soul. That may differ. Any other question? Yes, Dinakrishna. Yeah. Well, you see, the actual consideration is that thinking of Krishna, depending upon Krishna means wherever Krishna wants you to go. It is not your desire to go back to Golok Vrindavan. A pure devotee's desire is whatever Krishna wants. And if Krishna wants me to come here, I'll come. But if you come according to Krishna's desire, then you'll be engaged in Krishna's activities. When you are engaged in Krishna's activities, are you bound or you are liberated? So if you're already liberated here, why should you separately try to get liberation somewhere else? So that is the point. At a less advanced stage, one thinks that going back to Godhead is the goal of life. But at a more advanced stage, one thinks to be engaged in Krishna's service is the goal of life. All right. Thank you, Dina. Yes, Radharani.
Can you explain what charity means in the spiritual perspective? Charity, because you said charity should also be one of the acts that you're not giving up. So I'm thinking what charity actually means from a spiritual perspective.
To offer that will be beneficial, to offer something that is going to be beneficial for a spiritual advancement is charity. Like if you're giving something to somebody, but if it is not beneficial for his spiritual advancement, then that is not proper charity. Like a junkie, he may give some heroin to somebody in charity, but is it going to benefit the other person? So that is not charity. There are degrees of welfare. Like one kind of welfare is just a physical welfare. That is, the body's need is fulfilled. Like, what are the body's need? Body's need is food, shelter, and so forth. Then little more advanced is the welfare of the mind, subtle body. But the ultimate welfare is the welfare of the soul. Like, you may have the body's need fulfilled, but if you're mentally distressed, then will that... Like we see, there are so many people, those who have a lot of wealth, but mentally they are not peaceful. And as a result of that, they are miserable. So,
We can see the more important than the body's need is the mind's need. But somebody may be mentally peaceful, but spiritually degraded, spiritually in ignorance. So therefore, it is better to give them the spiritual understanding. And when one is spiritually situated, then both his subtle body's need and the gross body's needs are fulfilled automatically. Yes.
Question from this is a question from Abhijan from South Africa. When we see senior devotees leaving their bodies, we realize the temporary nature of our lives and see the urgent need to practice Krishna consciousness. Yet we so easily slip back into ordinary sloppy practices. How can we keep alive the deep impression?
Yeah, remain in the right association. Make it a point to remain in the association of devotees, and that will keep you on the track.
Another question from Bhakti Nikhara. Can you explain the endeavor of five causes of action?
Can you explain the five causes of action? Yeah, they have been explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Explain endeavor. Of five causes of action.
Endeavor is one of the causes. Endeavor is one of the causes. But endeavor alone, see, for example, you may want something. Now, if you don't make an endeavor, can you get it? And can endeavor alone get it? No. So beyond endeavor is the super soul or the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether you are qualified to get it or not. If you are not qualified to get it, no matter how much endeavor you may do, you won't get it. Hare Krishna. Okay then, so now we will go to the next phase of our program, that is initiation of four candidates. Or we can say three and a half candidates, or three plus one very special candidate. Thank you. So I'll meet you all in a few minutes in the next room. Are they ready? Okay. Gaur Premanande.